Hello, everybody. Welcome, welcome, welcome to our November business Q&A call. I'm so happy to be here with all of you. I hope you're all doing really well. And I'm really excited to connect with you and for us to all go really deep into your businesses and what you need by way of strategy right now or inner work right now or whatever it is for you. So I want to welcome, there are a number of new people that are joining this call that haven't been on our business Q&A calls before. So welcome, welcome, welcome. And this is a good reminder for you if you're new or if you've been here before. So the purpose of these calls is for you to receive what you need for yourself, as well as to really receive, as you hear others being coached for yourself. There's so much that you can learn from each other and from the laser coaching that I'm going to be doing and laser consulting that I'm going to be doing. And so in a few moments, I'm going to just like open up and the invitation for questions, and the invitation is for you to bring anything forward that you need support with right now. If you are wanting to look at pricing for a program of yours, bring that forward. If you're wanting to look at how to do outreach, how to fill a program, how to bring in your next couple of clients, if you're working on a free opt-in, you know, any of those things, if something's come up in an enrollment conversation that you want to talk about, this is an opportunity to do that. If you feel like you've got an inner peace going on, a block, that's an opportunity to bring that forward as well. Don't worry about will my question be applicable to everybody else, because if it truly isn't, I will let you know and we can connect on it, you know, a different time. But I promise you 99.9999999% of the time it is applicable. And so my invitation to everybody listening, to the people being coached, is to activate the law of adaptation. Even if this person's business is totally different from yours, or even where they're at is in a different place than you are, there's still going to be at least one thing, if not more, that you'll hear in my coaching of them that is important for you, that is applicable to you in one way or another. You just need to adapt it for yourself, right? So activate that law of adaptation so that you can get what you want and need for yourself. All that being said, take a moment before I open up for Q&A. I want you to take a moment, and we've got about 6 or 7 weeks left of 2020. And sometimes we can fall into the false thinking that, you know, it's like, especially for those of us in the U.S., Thanksgiving is next week, right? And sometimes we can fall into this false thinking that, like, the year is already done. The rest of the year is awash. Nothing is going to happen. But actually, so much can happen in these last weeks of the year. And you don't have to overwork to make them happen. You can still have your holidays as well. But it's a myth that it's done for the year. And it's also a myth that people are done buying for the year. So that being said, I want you to think about the next 6 or 7 weeks, you know, between now and the end of the year, and what is one thing that you know for sure you want to accomplish in your business between now and the end of the year? It might be, you know, when I say outer, I mean like I want to bring on 1 more client, 5 more clients, you know, whatever it is, right? But it could be, you know, I've been working on this free gift and I really want to complete that by the end of the year. Or it might be about figuring out a plan for opening up more space for yourself, for 2020, or getting more clear on a program that you'd like to offer. Then it might be an inner thing of, you know, I want to feel more at peace as I close out this year, right? So for you, what is the one thing, like if there is nothing else, but it's just this one thing in your business that you knew, you know you want to accomplish, you want to commit to it, you want to make it happen between now and the end of the year, what is it? Write it down. Be clear, if you can, about what this thing is. And take a moment and commit. Right? Commit to making this thing happen. You may not know how yet. You can ask questions about that on this call. But the first and most important thing is to commit. Now, whatever this thing is that you know that you want to make happen, that is a goal to have happen before the end of the year, here's the next question I want to ask you about that. What kind of energy is going to be required of you to make that happen? And when I say what kind of energy, I don't mean how much energy. That's not what I mean. What I mean is, is this, in order to make this happen, is this about activating your confidence? Is this about activating your more extroverted self? Maybe it's going to require networking, right? Is this going to require you activating the energy of creativity or of organization or of being willing to ask for support, right? So what is the energy that this goal is really asking you to activate? And then, last question, whatever this goal is, what are the next 2 or 3 steps that are going to be required? Even if you don't know them fully and you need some clarification on that, absolutely bring that forward as a question. But so far as you know and you can sense into, what are your next 2 or 3 steps that are going to be required to accomplish this goal? Break them down into baby steps. And if you want to put 4 steps, that's fine too, right? But just what are the baby steps that are going to be required? Okay, good. So you can ask a question that came up through that little exercise or anything else that you're needing today. *2 to raise your hand. What can I help you guys with today? *2. Kara.
Hi, Joanna. I feel like I was going to ask about an outer question, and I'm like, oh, no, I have to do an inner one.
Well, they may intersect, so you want to put it all out there?
Okay, sorry, I'm, like, tired.
By the way, congrats on your film. I just want to say it since we're voice to voice. Yeah, it's amazing. Yay, Kara. Kara created a film, and it was just in a film festival, right? Yay.
Yeah, and it was amazing, and it was hard just because my family energy and navigating all that. So I think part of what I'm feeling is just exhaustion.
Yeah.
So I'm just letting that be true for a moment.
Yeah. It's welcome in this space. Just don't fight mm-hmm. against. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and so within the exhaustion is a sense of like wanting to devote myself to my coaching practice as an expression of my ongoing healing and passing that along to others. Mm-hmm. And helping others, you know, complete something, a deeper expression of themselves through their story, whether it be, you know, through a marketing project or some other creative project. And, I had a call with Marcy yesterday, and I'm planning to do a group program in the new year, and have had great experience with a smaller group this past year. And like, it's like mm-hmm. all, like I feel the power of the work, and yet there's like, just a way that I abandon it. Mm-hmm. I want to do a free workshop to start building an audience to invite into this offering in the new year, and I've wanted to do a freebie, and I have this list. Mm-hmm. And I'm having a hard time, and I know there's like the blueprinting approach, but it feels like more of an emotional block.
Yeah, I'm so glad that you're bringing this forward. So, first of all, I want to name and honor that the last few months have been really big for you. You know, it's not just mm-hmm. film got into this film festival and, you know, all the things, but of course you're exhausted, Kara. It's like, I think part of it is a vulnerability hangover, right? To use Brene Brown's
words. Right.
I mean, you are mm-hmm. such a champion of sharing, right? Like sharing, healing through your story and sharing your story. And this is the biggest you've shared, your very intimate story.
Mm-hmm.
And it would be silly to think that you wouldn't need space and recuperation time, like on a deep level, after
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
all of it. So mm-hmm. my sense is that the part of the not doing, and we can look to see what other blocks are there, 100%. But and you can tell me if this resonates for you, but I have a feeling a big piece right now of the not doing is like you need space after everything that you've been through. Like it's really mm-hmm. big, you know, and I want you to really honor, like, on the emotional and psychic level what you've just experienced.
Mm-hmm.
So let me pause there and ask you if that resonates with you.
Yeah, it does. And it's like I know this, and yet it's like, well, next week is Thanksgiving, and then I want to launch this thing in the new year.
Yeah, but we'll get to that in a moment.
Yeah.
But let's just really mm-hmm. honor that you actually do need more space right now.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes that's like you can't fight against that, right? Like your psyche
right.
and your body need what they need. A lot was required of you over the last 6 weeks or so.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
yeah, it's helpful to speak out loud because it's like I know it and I've talked to friends about it. Like, okay, you know, December and end of November, I'm really going to like relax. And then I'm just like looking at my calendar and the way that like January is around the corner and I'm like, there's no time to relax. And
yeah.
I'm not, yeah, it's just I'm not very good at relaxing or stopping.
Right. Well, and so that being said, right, like, what would happen, again, just considering everything, if you put the start of the program back by 3 weeks or 4 weeks?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Would that be the end of the world?
No, it wouldn't. It wouldn't. February kind of start would be fine.
Okay, so let's really think about a February start just to give you more space. Like in general to give you more space, right? And then especially because of everything that, whether you realize or not, I'm sure is coming up through all of the exposure that you've just had.
Mm-hmm.
So to start, does that feel good to just create a little bit, create a little more space?
It does.
So then from there, if there was another block, and again, my deep sense is a high percentage of this is what we've already spoken about, but if there was something else going on for you that would have you abandon the work, what would it be?
There's a way of I brought this up in another brief call briefly. There's a way that I'm holding like the business as a cheapened version of art.
So interesting because I got chills when you were just speaking earlier about how your coaching work is an expression of your healing and your way of passing it on to others. Like, Kara, I felt that so deeply when you said that. I think the cheapening is old. My sense is that that's not actually, I think you've evolved around that. So what's the last vestiges of the cheapening of it for you?
The last vestiges. I mean, I appreciated your post I read this week about like not being fancy in your marketing. It's like somehow like when I see people who are like have a certain polish and like approach and like I sort of hold that as like what I should be doing somewhere, even though I know that that's not who I am. Then there's a sense of like, I don't want to do that.
I think for you that was cheapness.
So there's this old story of like that's what marketing is, and then there's this deep knowing that like actually for me marketing is a healing. It's showing up and being visible and in a way that I could never be in my past with who I am. And helping other people reframe it in that way too. So there's like this knowing and this old story, and there's like a bridge that needs to be divided.
So here's the bridge: is to catch yourself when you're in the, now that you've named it, all you have to do is catch yourself when you fall into that old story, and remind yourself the truth. That's it.
Okay.
Okay, so then that being said, if we're moving forward not with any cheap, you know, any marketing that's going to cheapen the depth and the gravitas and the substance of what you're offering, then what are the things that you would like to work on between now and the end of the year while also honoring that you're in a recovery period right now? And you don't need to, I'm going to let you, I want you to like write it out and you can share it in the group, but that's what I want to sit with. Does that feel like a good place to land?
It does, and I appreciate the accountability that I can have around it with the Facebook group.
Awesome. Good. That's really beautiful. What are you taking, just tell me briefly, because I know we went through a lot very quickly here. What are you taking for yourself from the work we just did?
I need deep rest, and to actually like blueprint the rest, you know, just like block it off, and figure out like what things, whether it's just like lying around or walking or, you know, sitting in a tub or whatever it is, you know, like actually put those in my calendar. And yeah. And then there's this, this just continuing to like fan the flames of my knowing around my, what my work is really about and what the marketing of it is really about. And, flicking the old story away when it comes.
Yeah.
And yeah, working on one thing for the end of the year that feels like something, that would set me up. I think it will be my freebie, that I've been wanting to do all year, and just completing that will be a foundation for this launch in the new year, this delayed launch. So,
yeah, good. So if it, whatever it ends up being, that freebie, whatever it is, you know, if this resonates, Kara, really devote it to the gravitas and the substance and the power of the work. That will also help you from, you know, like that it moves from moving it into the cheap place, right? Like really make that devotion. Okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's helpful.
Beautiful.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, let's see who's next. Gwen.
Yes. Hi.
Hi.
Hi. Okay, so I've been talking with you about these, this idea that I have to do growth groups. And, you know, I'm at the phase of sort of putting it out to my community and getting feedback. And I have this voice, like, that's pretty persistent in the back of my head. Like, I'm making progress towards it, but then there's a voice that's saying, like, it takes a lot of time and energy to put into something that, one, I'm not really sure if it's going to go, and two, I'm not, it's not like, like, I think there's a lot of value in it, but it's not like, oh yeah, like this is like the thing that I've been like wanting to offer, and it's like not perfect. it's not the perfect idea, or it's not even, it's like there's resonance, but it, so I guess I'm just sort of, I guess I want to just check in and get some, have a Jiminy Cricket on my shoulder to sort of help me hear what, what if that is wise and what if that is BS.
I'm glad you're bringing it forward. Your phone, I think, is doing like, I think it, maybe it is your headphone or something, like you're a little coming off as raspy. I don't know if you can, like...
Is that better?
Your head. Not really, but it's fine. I can still hear you, and I think everybody else can, too. How do you know when an idea is one that you want to move forward with?
I think there's one category, like I definitely, I'm not a dragging my heels kind of person in general. There's some things that I just know, and it's just clear. It's just, like I guess, it's like there's things that I can distinguish that I'm afraid of, but it's still clear enough that, you know, that it's a yes.
I'm not hearing that there's fear around this. Like, it doesn't feel like resistance to me. You know, because I was listening for that. Even if you don't know exactly, like, what would be the thing that makes your heart sing that you would want to offer?
I don't know. It's like the million-dollar question. I'm not sure, but this may be a sideways way to answer your question or may contribute to the information. What I notice is that I'm looking at this sort of program, let's call it, or this, you know, initiative as like an experiment, sort of, there's an attitude inside of me of, you're not going to know unless you try, like maybe you'll learn something. And at the same time, like, it's a lot of energy and time that I'm putting in. And I do know that I can distract myself by getting busy.
Yeah. So I think it's like a business model question, because when you first came up with the idea, what I thought your intention was, which maybe I should have clarified with you in retrospect. Like,
yeah.
Maybe that was an assumption. But my assumption was that this would be an opportunity for you to bring in people who maybe weren't ready to invest in the one-on-one and leverage your time a little bit more. It wasn't really one of those things of like, oh, there's a big piece of my thought leadership that I'm bringing forward, right, or your thought leadership that you're bringing forward. It felt more like here's group coaching for people that haven't stepped into one-on-one and a way to leverage some of your one-on-one time for some more money.
Yeah. I'm not quite thinking of it that way. I'm thinking of it, and I don't know if I was clear for myself when I started, but now I'm thinking about it as a way for me to take a step towards curriculum, because it's not going to be group coaching exactly. It's going to be sort of, you know, a facilitated discussion that has a coaching as part of it, but it's also going to be like some content that I'm creating and presenting, and then, you know, ideally getting feedback on just from the response of how it lands. So there, so it's a, you know, a step forward to grow that part of me, but it's also a step forward to grow sort of a like group dynamic, which is a piece of the constellation work that I'm. You know, that's in the background. So it's like there's opportunity for me to grow, but I also know, like, I'm at the beginning stages and I'm already like, oh, this is a lot of energy. And to make anything happen, to make any program go, it takes a ton of sustained, what's your term? Persistent and consistent effort. And so I just want to like pause and say like, well, is this really what I want to put my limited, consistent, and persistent effort into? I can't quite tell.
I'm pausing to just sense in for a moment.
Pausing's good for me.
I know that you're planning on putting out the survey. And my feeling is I think you should do a survey either way. You know, maybe not promise that the growth groups are going to happen, just like rework some of that copy slightly. But because you are using part of this, like you said, like to create curriculum, to bring forward your thought leadership, I feel like the survey either way is going to give you hopefully some good information and feedback around some more of the specifics of what your people are wanting and feel like they need. And I'm wondering if that's going to spark some more excitement either around a growth group or a different kind of something in one of those topics. So I'm almost wondering if, like, instead of knowing what the end goal is clearly, maybe this is a moment for a little more mystery and just take it step by step and first engage with your community around what they're really wanting. And then see if anything that does for you. And that may lead you to the next step, to knowing what the end goal is, or then we take the next step after there. So you don't feel like in this moment you're going to be able to make a decision of like, yes, I know I really want to do this, or no, like I just want to drop it. And I feel like you've already done some good work around it that can be applicable to other things.
Mm-hmm.
How does that feel?
It feels like there's a little bit. So what I hear you saying is to sort of reframe it for myself as a like let it be an experiment or let it be a process, as opposed to like I'm committing to this.
Right. Like I feel like we know. I feel like you are committing to something. I think the thing that you're committing to is that sometime in the near future, there is going to be you're going to be experimenting with a group, with putting together curriculum, with bringing more of your thought leadership forward, with holding a group, all the things, but we don't know what it is yet, and that's okay, but that doesn't mean that you still can't be in the process of moving it forward.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that it does, it's there's more space, there's more play, I guess, in that framing. And it seems to you that the next best step is to put out the survey, because I'm like 80% there.
Yeah, I feel like you've worked on it, and I feel like it's good, and hopefully it will engage some people. And I feel like I said, what I don't have a doubt in my mind is that you're going to be doing a group sometime soon, like not this year, but sometime soon. And that, like you said earlier in this conversation, like there's a lot in it for you to do that. And I think you do have juice around the reasons to experiment with it and move forward with it. But we just don't know yet like what it's going to be, and that's okay.
Okay.
Yeah, so do the survey.
Yeah. That's really helpful. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. And I'm happy to take a look once you shift the languaging at it, if you want me to.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Okay.
You're welcome.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye. Okay. Sorry, my screen kind of went off. Okay, here are we. All right, let's see who's next. Michelle.
Hi.
Hi.
Good to hear your voice. I have to say that.
Oh.
I have two questions that are interrelated. Number one, I started, like in the last month, I've been working with a client who, I mean, I love her. I love her work. She's absolutely brilliant. And, oh, my God, how much time does she need?
How much what? I didn't hear that.
Handholding does she need? And all of the logistical shit for me is automated, right? I don't. Mm-hmm. I like not to think about these things. And so today we were on a call and she hadn't paid her invoice, so I woke up like clear, going, okay, you're just gonna take her payment on your call. So at the end of the call, I got her payment, which is great. But I think, so here's part B. I think I need to do a late payment policy.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. Okay, number one, I have feelings about it. But number two, I don't know if that's necessarily going to eliminate the amount of logistical handholding I have to do with this client.
I'm having a little trouble hearing you, Michelle. I don't know why. I don't know if it's me or you. Can you say the last part again?
Sure. Give me a moment. Let me put in my headphones. It might make it better. Okay. I don't
So I have, if I adopt this late payment policy,
uh-huh.
I don't know. Well, all right, I'm doing it because I should have a late payment policy, right? But for this particular client, I don't know that it's necessarily going to eliminate the logistical handholding I have to do with her.
What other, can you give me some more examples of the logistical handholding that you have to do? I just want to understand a little more.
So when we first started working together, like, so we send her, when people sign up for me, we send the invoice, then we send the contract, then we send a welcome packet that says, here's your Zoom link. Here's, you know, that's what happens automatically, except I had to tell her, oh, you just got the invoice. So she sent the invoice. It took her a while to get to, it took her a week. And I was like, oh, go ahead and pay the invoice. And then I had to tell her, go ahead and sign the contract. And then I had to tell her, go ahead and set up your times. And then after the first, like, we had a couple sessions and, like, set up your times for the next few weeks. You know, although it's, like, clear that we're going to be working, you know, we're going to be on the phone,
right,
you know, Zoom 3 times a month. And then, like, I've sent her three emails about, you know, it'd be great if you pay the invoice. I still had to do, you know, in addition
to
my hat. Right, and then I still had to take the payment on our call.
Yeah. Okay, I got it. I'm with you now.
Okay.
All right. So a couple of things. We'll come back to the late payment fee in a second, but a couple of things. So first of all, how are people paying you? Like, when you invoice them, how do they pay you?
Online. It's through Stripe.
I see. I mean, so there's a part of me with the payment, Michelle, that's wondering if you should get their credit card information and set it up on your back end to, like, have the automatic payment, you know, kind of like the way I do it.
Yeah.
Because it just eliminates, if you have people that need to pay an invoice on their own every month, there is going to be some of this, end of story. If it happens automatically, and I think you can do it with PayPal too, PayPal or credit card, then it eliminates this.
I think I just heard angels singing.
Yeah, it's good. I'm glad, because it really can be that simple. When somebody says, yes, I want to work with you, then you say, great, and you need to get them excited. I'm going to send you a welcome packet and blah, 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 blah. And what credit card would you like to use? Do you want to pay in full, or would you like me to set up monthly payments for you? Right?
If you really see a strange news story about Michelle dancing down Fifth Avenue, you know why.
Yay!
Just
awesome.
Solved the problem.
Yeah. So
I'll have to figure out if 17 Hats can do that, and if not, figure something out. But that, wow. Yeah.
Yeah. So there you go. It really can be that simple. And then there's, like, less of a need for a late payment fee, right? The only time that would come up is if somebody's credit card bounces, you know, like if something happens, and then you can choose. And I'll just share for you and everybody on this call, like, for myself, we do have a late payment fee, but I usually, the first time is just, you know, 'cause it's usually just some kind of mistake, or the person forgot to pay their credit card. You know, like, I grace it the first time.
Right.
And go from there. So you can do that. And then I would just say, like, in terms of scheduling, just logistics, you know what a big fan I am, because of the container, of scheduling out all the sessions at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Even if they have to be rescheduled, that's fine. And maybe that's something that your assistant can help clients do. There'll always be a couple of outliers, right? But that way, it's just like you're more set there.
Okay.
How does all of that feel?
I love this.
Great.
Okay.
Yay!
I love it. Thank you.
You're welcome. Let us know how it goes.
Will do.
Okay. Great. All right. Pinball.
Hi, Joanna and everyone. So I wanted to share about something that's been kind of, triggering me. I'm using the word loosely, but I feel like, and I'm curious what it's about. So I feel like all of my clients are getting therapists. And I'm just like, so basically I'm like, okay, is the work like not deep enough? So it's interesting to me because it's like one client who we're continuing to work together. She's like, oh, and I also like made all these sessions with a therapist. Have you heard of Hakomi? And I'm like, yeah, I've done like several courses in Hakomi. And another client is like, you know, had a major breakup with her boyfriend and all of these different moves and was like, yeah, and I'm going to get a therapist in New York, like where she moved. And then another client who I hadn't been connected with in a while, but we circled back yesterday. She's like, yeah, now that I'm dealing with like, you know, potentially breaking up with my boyfriend, I'm also going to get a therapist. And literally that's what she wanted to focus on in our coaching session was like, what do I look for in a therapist? So that's not what actually happened, but I'm just like, so it's just, yeah, so I don't know what you're hearing. And obviously, like, and I've had clients with working with therapists before, and I've had clients who have been like, you need a therapist.
Yeah, what's the belief that's about this that's triggering you?
That our work doesn't go deep enough. And that I'm not actually like, yeah, that I'm not like meeting their needs. And I think part of it is that it's like, at least with this client who we haven't talked to in a while, and I'm kind of like, wait, I work on this stuff like all the time. You know, like the person who got a therapist, you know, in New York, it's like she wants to look at all these family patterns and, you know, particularly with her brother. And again, like, great, like, that's something that, you know, that we can work on. And also, like, good for her, right? Like, for being, like, super proactive.
Yeah.
And wanting to finally, like, address this issue.
Yeah. So I totally understand, like, I want to normalize and not make wrong the belief that you're drawing, that it's not, the work isn't going deep enough, that you're not meeting their needs. I'm sure, like, you are not the only person in the situation that would feel that way. And I know for sure in the past when I've had clients that have also started working with therapists, like, that's been the first place where I've gone. So I totally get it. And that may, and we could look client, or you can look client by client. You know, it may be true, maybe for one of them, I don't know. But I have to say, like, those aren't the natural conclusions to the situations here. So, as their coach, you can't meet all of their needs, number one, for a couple of reasons. Number one, because, right, like, coaching is coaching. But number two, because they have limited amount of time with you.
Yeah.
So that's number one. Number two, it sounds like there might be a mismatch in what you, I'm going to get to the mismatch in a second. Number two, they have specific goals that they've hired you for. And, of course, patterns and all of that are going to play into it, and you're going to do that work with them, right? But they may be seeing you as, like, Inval is the person that's helping me reach this goal. And yes, these threads are going to come into our work, but I also want to do very focused work, therapy work on this. That makes sense what I'm saying?
Yeah, totally.
which is actually a gift to you, because then you get to focus a little bit more energy on moving them forward with the goals. You're still doing the deep inner work, but they're getting all of that other time that you just can't give them on it. Number three, they may sense, or more than sense, you may have spoken, there may be situations where there's specific trauma involved that's actually out of the scope of coaching. And, of course, there's pieces on that you're going to touch as a coach, especially a sacred depths coach, because you go deep, but it might be more appropriate for a therapist. And then number four, there may be a mismatch in what you see as your work together versus what they see as their work together, in which case, if you're seeing that with a bunch of clients, you want to, that goes back to the bridge and articulating, part of the bridge when you're working with someone, either from the beginning or when you start on a new goal or a project, and you articulate the strategy, which is the bridge, is to say something like, and we're going to be working on the patterning with your brother, right? So there just might be some tightening up around how you're either articulating bridge or strategy as you look at new goals with clients. So I just spoke a lot. Let me pause there and ask you what's resonating for you. What are you seeing, or where are you stuck?
Yeah, that all makes sense. And so particularly it's all it's all facts. I agree with you. I guess I'm more so based on that, I'll look at the mismatch, and also how do I know if I am going deep enough?
Good question. I don't know. How do you know if you're going deep enough? Was that you that just yawned, or is there someone else?
No, I can get someone else.
Off mute. Okay. Check on things.
So, I don't know.
So
if I'm going deep enough, yeah.
So here's what I'll say. My guess is that you are, but if you want to get more clear, if you haven't lately been doing assessments of your coaching sessions, I would go back to that. And maybe you don't have to do it forever, but maybe over the next week or two, next week is Thanksgiving, so maybe 3 weeks, whatever it is, but go back to the assessments. After each coaching session, and answer the regular questions that we've got on the assessment, what went really well, what would I like to do differently, what is my inner wisdom telling me about this client, but add a fourth question of where are the specific places in this session where we went deep, and are there any specific places where we could have gone deeper? And it would have been appropriate.
Okay.
It'll do two things. Number one, well, it'll do three things. I think, first of all, it'll just help you see that you are going deep. Oh, maybe it's just two things. The other thing it will do is, if there are places that you're not, it will help you course correct.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. All right. Who is this? 1490.
That would be me, Christine.
Hi, Christine. I thought that.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello. First, I want us to say thank you to everybody who's sharing. It's all gold, and it just always amazes me how we're all so similar.
Mm-hmm. So true.
So my question is, so my goal
which I put out to the people of my current business list, is that I will be winding the Christine Riedel business down at the end of the year and launching Goddess Reclaimed as a formally, officially, as of sort of January 1st. And because, you know, as we know, being strategic is, and looking forward is not been one of my assets. As I'm actually starting to look forward and thinking about both those businesses of being containers, I'm wondering if there's, if you might have any suggestions or if there's any best practices for sort of winding down the one, or sort of like tying up the bow on the one as I open the other. I don't want to feel like I've just, which is would have been my pattern in the past, would have been just to be like, you know, thank you all for, you know, 15 years of, you know, gifts and blessings, and then I would have just kind of dropped it as I focus on the other. And I'm not sure, like, is that enough, or is there,
what's the natural progression from the one that's ending to Goddess Reclaim?
The natural progression,
mm-hmm.
In terms of the type of work?
Yeah, in terms of how you're going to be helping people and what results you're going to be helping them achieve.
So with what I've been doing in terms of doing the animal communication and intuitive consulting and spiritual teaching and helping, right? It's been more consulting and working with people, their animals. So it's just, you know, and it's very, very, you know, one at a time, right? When somebody's got got an issue, we do a session.
Mm-hmm.
Goddess Reclaimed is more focused on women and in taking women through, you know, various journeys, so having different programs and offerings where they're going to start at a certain place and move through a journey. So and where it's going to be more coaching than consulting.
Got it. Okay. Got it. So first, let me offer you this kind of image or metaphor. What I want to suggest is instead of thinking of this in a linear way, like this business has started and now it's ending and now the next one is starting, think of it more of a spiral where... and it's beautiful because it's like end of the year, right? So like perfect image of the wheel of the year, right? Like you're stepping in. It's not, you're not ending the work that you did. This is the next evolution on the spiral.
Yes.
Right? So it's not that in this formal way one is getting shut down and another one is starting, but it's more that there's this natural progression, right? And the progression is going to include a new name, and it's going to include some things falling away, but some things also being brought forward.
Okay.
And if you can think about it that way, I want to invite you to communicate with that energy, your message with that energy, right?
Okay.
So that you're bringing the people that have been part of this last cycle, the ones that are meant to move forward into the new one, they don't feel like this is ending, right? It's just you're bringing them forward with you into this next cycle and this next evolution, right? And so from that energy, you can write to them, you know, with inspiration about how the one type of work has evolved into this next type of work and what's in it for them and what they'll be seeing from you and what you're going to be offering them and what's going to be available and what's going to be possible, like just very aspirationally and excitedly, right? And so then it's not boom, shut down. It's like bringing forward instead. How does that feel?
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's, yes. Yes, that's just, it feels so divinely perfect. It feels so juicy and so nourishing. Yeah, it makes total sense. Yeah.
Awesome.
Perfect.
Beautiful. Good.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome. All right. Let's keep on going. Dana.
Hi, Joanna.
Hi.
Okay. So, oops, I wanted to put my headphones in because I feel like you'll hear me better. So I would like advice on a challenging client that I have. And also, I'm just trying, like, I have a takeaway from the client, but I want to make sure it's not rooted in my fear, that it's rooted in, like, truth. And I think that ties into, like, which I wrote down, I think you were talking to Imbal, where you're like, do an assessment. And I'm like, I don't do assessments. I'll, like, reflect after, just kind of general reflecting to myself, but I don't do formal assessment.
Mm-hmm.
And I tend to, like, reflect only if I feel, like, really stuck around something or something went really well. So maybe
I really recommend doing those, you know, writing down the formal assessments for a while. You'll get so much from them.
And you will also feel
better about your so much better about your coaching.
Okay. I'm kind of missed, like, where, like, you have a resource for us somewhere?
Yeah. I'll make sure.
Okay, because I don't remember a formal resource.
I don't know exactly what it's called. I have to look.
Okay, yeah, just, I mean, like I said, I reflect sometimes, and I've been reflecting a lot on this client, but I don't have, like, formal questions that I'm asking myself. So, yeah, if you had something, then that'd be helpful. So,
mm-hmm.
Okay, so I launched my 8-week, it's like an 8-week meditation jumpstart program, and I got 3 beta clients, which felt really good to me. And two of them, I love working with them. It feels awesome. One of them just wrapped up this week, and we had an enrollment conversation, or she wrapped up last week, and then we had an enrollment conversation this week about continuing on into, like, a 3 or 6 month program, so that feels good.
Nice.
And then my other one, I think, is wrapping up in a week or two. And same thing, like, I felt like a little bit of a stretch with this one, but, like, even when I was, like, sweating and, like, practicing, like, my fear, the fear process, and feeling like I stumbled, I always felt like it wrapped up and she always had, like, a strong takeaway. And then she would follow up with me, like, wow, like, that was so great. I, like, uncovered this and this, and it's helping me in this way. So I felt like, okay, good. Like, she's getting value and benefit, and I'm, you know, it's helping her. This third client, like, I'm just trying to figure out, like, what's going on. So first of all, she doesn't really fill out the pre-survey questions, and that helps me, like, kind of gauge. I don't know. I like to be, like, a little bit prepared, but I was like, okay, that's fine. So I just never enforced it with her. I mean, I did mention it in the beginning, but for some reason, again, maybe I'm not, like, maybe I need to have more boundaries in communication. But anyway, I'm just trying to, like, go with the flow with her, with what feels good for her. So then we get on the call and we do it. Well, I'll be like, you know, and I'll start with a celebration and the struggle and what does she want to receive? And she's like, a lot of times she's like, I don't know, nothing's coming to mind now. And she'll, like, or she'll be like, I don't want to force it. So she'll say that a lot for, like, the celebration. And for the struggle, she's like, you know, like, just general stuff. But, like, it's always very vague. And then even for the takeaways at the end, it's always like, I'm not sure. I don't want to force anything. And then she'll be like, I feel relaxed or peaceful. And, like, that's it. So I feel like there's maybe more resistance with her to, like, extract information. And as, like, a newer coach, that feels really challenging for me. So part of me is just wants to take away that, like, she's not my ideal client at this stage of my coaching, like, practice. But anyway, so I don't know that that's what I'm supposed to, like, pull out of it. But I also sense that from the get-go, and I think I've mentioned this before, there was, like, an energetic thing going on. I try to, like, work with it energetically on myself before the calls, and I do that. But, I mean, you know, at some point I feel like, I mean, if it's such an energetic, if there's a strong energetic thing, again, maybe it just means that's not your ideal client at that stage of your journey either, if you can't, like, overcome it. So maybe that's playing a part in it. So yeah, I'll pause there.
Yeah, good. No, this is all really good. So I'm going to just kind of like say a couple of different things. Hopefully it won't feel all over the place, but just get all this information out. So first of all, just as a side, I wouldn't ask at the beginning of the call what her struggles are. I would do celebrations. You can ask her what's been evolving for her since you last spoke, and then ask what she'd like to receive. But I think, like, asking at the beginning of the call, so what are you struggling with? It could, I don't know, energetically, it just feels like it could bring forward not, like, highest self.
Okay.
Kind of thing. So that's just like
it's more like what were your struggles with the meditation practices that we did? Like it was kind of like that, but okay.
Okay. So like what worked and what hasn't worked with the meditation practice, I think is a better maybe way of putting it.
And I did. I was just kind of saying, but I do.
Okay. Got it. Okay. So then, the second piece is what if she's receiving, what if she's super happy with the work that you're doing together and receiving exactly what she needs? But she just happens to be a vague, laid-back person.
Yeah, I mean, again, I guess it comes down to, like, I don't know what's true and what's not true.
Well,
how much can I ask this client? Like, I'm
wondering,
too.
So then that's what I was going to say next. So, you know, one of my coaching philosophies is, like, to always be transparent. And to whatever, if it's coming up in your head, 9 times out of 10... probably want to like ask about it or create awareness about it, right? So if I were you in that position, let's say you were my client and I was the coach, you know, I would say, Dana, you know, I've loved the work that we've been doing together, and I'm so glad that you've moved forward. You know, name a couple ways that she's moved forward or new awarenesses, like, you know, different just celebrations or wins that she's had over the work together. And I'd say, but, you know, there's something that I want to ask you because it's something that I think about sometimes with you. You know, a lot of times at the end of our sessions when I ask you what you're taking away, you don't have something specific. It's you're either not sure or it's open-ended, or you say that you're feeling peaceful, which is great. And I just wanted to check in because sometimes I make up this story that it means that you're not receiving what you need from the session. And I want to, you know, as your coach, I want to give you exactly what you need. So I just want to, you know, check in. Is that just a story that I'm making up, or is there something to that? You know, how are you feeling about how our sessions are going? What are the parts that you love? And, you know, what are you, are there places that you're not getting things that you would like to?
Mm-hmm.
And I would just really open up that line of communication, right? Just like name it, do it lovingly, respect yourself and respect her in it. You know, this, it doesn't make you less than or her less than, but it's just a topic. And she, you know, maybe like, no, not at all. I love blah, blah, right? Or she may be like, you know, thank you for bringing it up. I like X, Y, and Z, but I feel like I'm not getting A and B. And then that's incredible, right? Because then that's something you guys can work on and strategize around together.
Okay. Yeah, that, like, and I started feeling like I wanted to address it in some capacity. And even like 2 weeks ago, because we've had a lot of like, she canceled a couple, like, she, you know, things happened. And so there felt like a disconnect from the beginning. So again, I like went back to the beginning and I was like, here, let us check in again. Like I did this a couple sessions ago.
Yeah.
And I was like, let's just make sure we're on course. And like, what are you wanting to receive now in the rest of our time together? And she did that.
All of that is great. But yeah, just name the concern.
This feels different. And I was trying to figure out like, empowered way of doing it. So would you suggest I just do it on the next call or so?
I would do it at the beginning of your next call. Before you go, you know, you can do celebrations and then the next thing is I would bring that forward.
I guess, yeah, I just meant voice to voice versus, because I mean, so this is the first time and it's funny before I wanted to like bring this up on call and I've been wanting to talk about this on, you know, with you through this and I just haven't yet. But she did text me after this call and said, thank you for our coaching. I really appreciate you. So that made me think, like, okay, well, she's receiving stuff. But, like, then why do I feel so different about this versus the other two clients? So that's interesting to me.
So it could be that she's, so back to what you're saying, like, it could be that she's not ideal, right? And you want clients who are like, I'm getting this, 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 and that. That could be it, Dana, but it could also be that some of your beliefs and expectations around what progress is or client satisfaction is are a little askew, right? So
yeah.
That's why I think having a conversation like the one that I'm suggesting, I think it will help put some things into perspective too for you.
Yeah, that feels good. Because even like the homeworks I give her, sometimes she's like, I didn't do that. Like, but then it's like, yeah, I didn't want to force it. And I'm like, okay. So it's been interesting. But
yeah.
So the other
piece I'll just say for now real quick, and we can get more into it another time, is is there some patterning around I don't want to force it that would be powerful for her to look at?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you could bring that into that discussion that you say, like, you could say, like, I notice a lot of times you say, I don't want to force it. And I wanted to gauge from you, like, is that a satisfactory for you to not force things, or is that your way of avoiding things that you really want? Right?
Mm-hmm.
So you can really lean in there in the coaching as well.
Yeah. Okay. Wow. Okay. Coaching is so, like, you got to be on your toes, and I don't think of that.
You are,
right,
because you're noticing these things. So you are on your toes.
All right.
It's all good.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome. All right. We still got a bunch of hands left, but I'm determined to get through everyone, and I can also stay a couple minutes late if we need to. Kendall.
Hello, can you hear me?
I can. Hi.
Oh, great. Hi. Hello, everyone. My question, I feel like it's similar to what Michelle asked earlier about the payment.
Mm-hmm.
And you may have kind of answered it already, but basically something really weird comes up for me around when I sign up a new patient, having them pay as part of the registration versus having them pay when they come in for their first session.
Yeah, what's the belief or fear for you that comes up around that?
Yeah, it's something around, well, I've thought a lot about this. I feel like there's at least a component of people aren't used to that, like prepaying when they go see a doctor or health practitioner. So that might feel weird to them, or they might feel put out, or they might feel like, I'm just, all I care about is getting their payment. Something like that. There's like a weird not wanting to seem overly interested in the payment.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like there's like an energetic component to, not wanting to,
yeah,
put them out. I don't know.
Hear you. I used to feel the same way. So I get it 100%.
Okay.
So, and what I'll say is, again, and you don't have to, right? But if you want to play around with it, remember energy follows energy. If you feel weird about it, if you feel like, oh my God, then they're going to pick up on that. They're going to feel that. But if for you it's just light and easy and natural, there's way more of a chance that people are going to go there with that. So for me, I never ask for payment. When somebody says, yes, I'm in, I never ask for payment first. What I say first is, I'm so excited, right? Like, I affirm their decision, all of that. And then I say, okay, these are like, this is what's going to happen next. I'm going to send you a welcome packet, and it's going to have a questionnaire, and it's going to be a great experience for you to fill that out, and la, 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 all of that.
Right.
And, let's go ahead and schedule our first session right now, all the things. And then after that, and I say, the way that payment works, I'll take your payment now, and the way that payment works is you can either pay in full up front, or we could set it up as monthly payments. What is it, which would you prefer? right? So that, okay. So number one, I'll like, the payment piece doesn't come first right after somebody says yes. But also I'm
right.
polite about it, and I just move through it like this is how it's, you know, like this is how we do it, right? It's not this weird thing.
Yeah, yeah, I like that. I like that. It just feels like part of the flow. It's just part of
yeah.
the registration process.
Exactly. There's the welcome packet, and there's a this, and a let's do payment, you know? It's just it's
yeah.
awesome.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds good. And it, what I'm getting is it would be helpful for me to just practice that with this light, easy, just
yeah.
part of the flow and just see how it goes and just anchor that new energy in around it.
Yes. Exactly.
Okay. Okay. Cool.
No
I'm going to. I will. I will. Thank you so much, Joanna. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. All right. Stephanie.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. I'm also on my desk treadmill, so let me know if it's too loud.
Okay. Awesome. I love that.
Oh, yeah. It's the best thing ever. So I am looking, so when you asked at the beginning, like, what are you hoping to do before the end of the year, I'm hoping to launch sort of round two of this group coaching program that I developed earlier
mm-hmm.
this year. And there's a couple of different things that are coming up for me in that. So the first thing is that it felt like a lot to take on. Because I'm also doing like an online class right now, a 4-week online class. And so I was worried about taking on too much and trying to like launch this right after New Year's,
mm-hmm.
but really wanting to take advantage of that like New Year's solstice energy.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like an herbal wellness group coaching program, really working with herbal allies, including cannabis, because that's one of those plants I focus on. To help people build their resilience and reach their health goals and their full potential. So it seemed like a good time to do it. As this call has gone on, I'm like, okay, maybe pushing that ahead to the end of January and just riding on like the bulk energy instead would give me some more spaciousness to put it together.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel somewhat resolved with that, the timing of it, but I'm still trying to figure out. One of the big things I want to figure out is the pricing of it.
Mm-hmm.
So last time I ran it, it was just sort of like one level that you would buy into, and it was 12 weeks of coaching, weekly calls, downloadable content, an herbal consultation, and all of your herbs for 3 months shipped to you. And
mm-hmm.
I charged $697, which was like rock bottom for what
mm-hmm.
I was offering. So I want to offer more this time, or sorry, I want to charge more this time. I'm trying to figure out if I should offer two levels because I want this to be accessible to people who can't afford something that will likely be over $1,000. But then I'm wondering if it will sort of like lessen their experience if they're not. So the two levels I was thinking of is one level is just the downloadable content and the calls. And then level two is you get the consultation and all of your herbs for 3 months.
Yeah.
That would allow more people to come in.
That feels like a natural separation of levels.
Yeah.
Me. That's what I was thinking.
Okay.
Too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Resistance to doing that because I'm like, well, then the folks who aren't getting those herbs, it's going to be a very different experience for them.
Yeah. So you just have to name it. Right. So, I don't love the term watered down, but it is a little bit of two different experiences, right? So level one is for you if you are someone that like takes in information quickly and then, you know, takes action on your own to blah, 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 and blah, blah, blah. Level two is for you if you'd like a little bit more hand-holding and the ease of, you know, having like laser instruction on which herbs are for you and having them arrive at your door.
Mm-hmm.
And just be honest, right?
Yeah.
Always in marketing, just be honest about it.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm trying to figure out, because some of the content of the class is about, like, working with your plant allies and, like, you know, getting
Is there a way for them to also do, like a written assessment for level one?
What do you mean by that?
I don't know. Is there some way to, like, quiz it out so they have an idea of what their allies are?
Hmm. That's an interesting thought. I hadn't thought about that. That's possible. I mean, it's also...
That's one idea. And then another idea is it might be that, like, the first class or one of the first classes is about, like, helping people just get a little bit, you know, you take them in the class through, like, helping them get a little bit more clear on what their ally, you know, one of their allies might be.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But, yeah, I think there's a way you can do that one to many, either written, you know, as a PDF or at a class, a group class.
Mm-hmm.
And then just be clear for the people that are in level two, like, it's going to be much more laser and we're going to get really specific.
Yeah.
There.
Okay.
I love the idea of pushing it out and giving yourself space. And Imulk is actually, like, a very powerful time to start.
Totally. Right. It's like the return of the light, and it really shows that, like, new energy. Yeah. So I'm trying to figure out pricing then, because I feel like $6.97, it felt like a stretch for me, but it really, like, just kind of covered, like, it wasn't really what it should be. I feel like I could charge a lot more for it. And so I'm not really sure where to go with pricing.
Is it a weekly class over the 12 weeks?
That's what I did last time, is it's a 1 hour group coaching call for 12 weeks. I might tweak that a little bit, but that's most likely what it would look like. Plus there's like 8 to 10 pages of like a downloadable content for each week.
Oh, that's a lot. So I'm going to just throw, you know, without like having a longer conversation out there, I'm just going to like intuitively kind of toss this to you, and we can definitely go more, you know, over this in Facebook. But my sense is for level one, to keep it around the $6.97, and then for level two, to bring it up to $9.97 or maybe a little over $1,000.
Okay.
How does that feel?
Yeah, that feels good. Keeping it under $1,000 actually feels kind of nice. I feel like I'm not pricing people out. And then I just feel like I would need to make that level one really worth that. Like what you're saying, adding something at the beginning that would help them find their herbal allies, like, so it's not just like a bunch of cookie cutter content and then a group with a bunch of people on it.
Yeah, 100%. And then what you might want to do is, even though it's a 3-month program, you can pull it out into 4 payments for people.
Really? Yeah.
Because that can help. Okay?
Cool. Thank you. That's
helpful. You're welcome. Really good stuff. Awesome. All right. Let us keep on going. Tammy.
Hello.
Hi.
I'm just going to warn you, if I suddenly disappear, I'm having, like, major children meltdown situation.
I got it.
Okay. But if I suddenly disappear, that is why. So I don't know if you remember, but part of my plan for making some more money this year was to have that tech support package for my clients.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So basically, you know, I spend a lot of time supporting my mom when their kids are sick through the phone, and it's a lot of my time and energy. And I'm having a hard time implementing it, right? Because it's like something I've been doing for a long time in my practice. And when I when I brought people into my two circles that I'm starting, the 9-month program and this new one that's starting on Saturday, which is just kind of like a seasonal support package, I've kind of added that as like an additional option if you want to opt in. And so that's allowed some conversation about it with other people. And, you know, I've had people that are ready to sign up in that way. But for current clients who have not seen me advertise it in that way, I'm just curious. I'm trying to figure out how I'm supposed to step into that. Because even when I've had the conversation with some of the people in the, that are joining the circles that we're interested in, they're kind of like, well, what's the difference? And I'm like, well, I'm getting fucking paid. But, you know, I didn't say it that way. I tried to make it pretty, you know, and
yeah.
And talk about how it keeps us in the container more and keeps you more responsible as a parent to be kind of more accountable. But I'm just trying to figure out, like, how I start. I really need to start implementing. I really need to start making the money that I'm spending the energy on. And I'm just having a hard time figuring
it
out.
So I think the first is any of your clients that you are doing a lot of texting with, to start with them. And to just, like, honestly tell them, like, I love that I'm able to support you in this way. I see that it's helpful. It's helped you do this, and it's helped you do this. And I want to continue to do it, but I just want to be honest. Like, it takes a lot of my time and energy, and I really I need to start honoring and valuing that a little bit more. I want to make this doable for you, but I am going to start charging for it, and this is the rate.
Okay.
I know that it can be a little scary to do that, Tammy, but you do not have a second to spare in your life right now, like with everything that you have going on. And those women are receiving that container from you through the text support and so much of your wisdom. And they need to pay for it, not just for your sake, but it's actually going to be more impactful for them if they pay for it. So I would really start with the people that you're doing it with.
Okay.
How does that?
So I heard everything you said, and what hit me the most was the part about, and I know this, and I guess the translation of it, and you kind of said it in your little thing, but if you could say like one more beautiful Joanna sentence, the way you do it, about how it will be more impactful for them if I'm creating a container and it's paid for. Like, how can I make that look pretty without sounding?
Yeah. So now it's kind of just happening. Besides the fact, and I know that you're receiving a lot of value from it, but if we formalize it in this way and actually create a conscious container for you to receive support through the texting. And also, if you invest some of yourself into it, it's actually going to be so much more impactful for you. You're going to take, you're going to be even more sure to follow through on things and to take in the information more deeply.
Okay, thank you.
There's some people that may not go for it, and that's fine, but then you don't have to do the text work with them anymore.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. I'm glad you're moving forward with that. Adina.
Hi.
Hi.
So, okay, I have a couple of clients that I'm wrapping up with, wrapping up for packages with, and I have already initiated scheduling the kind of extra check-in session between, well, one will be between the second to last and the last, as you had have suggested, and the other one is who actually wanted to do it the other way around and finish the package and then have the extra cost from honoring that. But basically, I want to keep the door open, of course, to continuing on working with these clients, and at the same time, I know that both of them have major financial constraints and, you know, debt that they're working down, and that was with both of them one of the big issues that we've been working on is financial responsibility and all of that. And so I am really stuck in this assumption that they are not going to want to continue, you know, commit to another full coaching cycle because of financial constraints. And so I want, on one hand, I want to create an offering for them that would be more financially accessible. And on the other hand, I feel like I need to also look at the assumption that I'm making and that culture and sort of see just how I can kind of create an open door for them to continue on in some capacity, but without feeling like I'm pressuring them in any way to do something, you know, to commit to something that I feel like is actually, you know, compromise what they're trying to work financially.
Yeah, 100%. So, first of all, I'm just glad you're catching yourself that there may be assumptions. Yay! And, you know, it's funny, like, it feels like maybe the theme of this call for so many people, like, I'm going to say it again, like, just be transparent and honest. So if I were you, I would say I know that the financial piece is something that we've been working on, and it's something that's really real for you. And I really thought a lot about whether or not to invite you to continue, because it is an investment for you to continue. But I ultimately decided that it is the right thing to do to invite you to continue because, and then you list all of the reasons, right, like what they'll receive from the work and how it can possibly help them with their, you know, the money pieces and all of that, and say, of course, there is no pressure, and also I am open to working something out if we need to finagle numbers or sessions, right, whatever that is, but I do feel really strongly that continuing would benefit you in X ways, and I'd love to find a way to make that work.
Okay. And if it's a kind of a different model, or, you know, kind of suggesting a different model where it would maybe be less frequent coaching sessions and other more, you know, other ways of checking in between to make it more, you know, more financially reasonable.
So
is that
that could be one way. Another way could be that you extend their payments out a bit longer, if that feels okay with you. Yeah, so, you know, kind of think about what you want to offer them before, but I'd say either the fewer sessions, but sometimes, and especially because, you know, you're just getting into your coaching practice, I almost feel like maybe doing an extended payment plan might be better, but see what feels right for you and work it, you know, figure it out with them.
Okay.
It can be a co-creation, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, sounds good.
I'm glad you're asking them to move forward with you.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, Joanna.
You're welcome. All right, it is exactly 2:30. There are still a couple of hands raised, and I'm going to just keep on going for, like, another 10 or so minutes for whoever can hang on the line. So who is this? 8451.
That's me, Joanna.
Hi, Viv.
It's Viv. Hi.
Yay, so you made it to a call. Yay.
I know. Yeah, that was, I was like, I actually almost hung up because I was like, I showed up, I was here, I connected, and I actually gained so much from what everyone else brought forward and asked about. So already, like everything, I've received so much from this.
Good.
From being here. Yeah, I was on so many of the calls through Sick Edge Ups last year, and then just this fall, not as many, but here I am. So that's my intention from here forward.
Good. Yay. So what can I help you with today?
Yeah, well, I think it's sort of like what my intention was number one, to show up, and number two, part of showing up was to begin rolling the ball in terms of changing or just movement. As you know, it's been a long winter for me. Everything, there was a lot that happened in this last year, just on the personal front, and so many things happening, and I am thankfully on the other side of it. But what's come from that is I'm wondering for myself, and of course we're not going to solve it right here, right now, but probably it's going to be around a little bit of journaling or reflection homework to help me kind of process this, is I feel like from the experience that I had this past year around my health, what I ended up doing is doing a full deep look at what was really happening, like what may have been happening for me, what the cause of it was, but that the ways I knew about taking care of myself were not working for me because, you know, there were some factors that were outside, but that the experience made me really take inventory of things on a deeper level. And through that process, a couple things came really clear for me. And that, number one, there was a bit of a, like an adrenaline piece and a bit of a, like, a, that had been sort of leading up to it for me. Just a lifelong patterning around that. Number two, around, something around, it was around sort of male and female and just me and how I was taking care of myself was like not checking off the list, but more like if I do this, 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 and this, then like everything will be good. And that wasn't the case when enough external and internal things kind of all hit at the same time. Mm-hmm. So I think rather than go into all of that, I think where, and you know, and there's other factors too with marriage and with the house we were living in, which thankfully we're out of. But that being said, all of it, Joanna, I think where I'm at right now is how can I know that this has everything to do with how I am supporting my clients, and not just how I'm supporting myself, but how I'm supporting my clients. And I know that through this year, as along with Sacred Depths being so, so important for me, that it has infused my practice a lot from my own experience. What I don't think I've done right now is kind of crystallize it and pull it together in a way that has me feeling inspired about how to move forward. And kind of, I would love to take my experience of this year and infuse it and really lift what I'm doing next year with it, if that makes sense. Even though it was really tough in a lot of ways, it was really important. And I know that it has, that it's really important, again, not just for me, but for who I'm serving. God.
Yeah, I can feel it.
I can
feel it really deeply. So I guess first I have a question for you, which is, do you feel ready to share your story publicly with your community? And that doesn't have to be like every, you know, a newsletter that goes out to everybody. It could be just to your clients. You know, there are different levels of it. But do you feel like you're ready to share?
Yeah, I am. I mean, I haven't, you know, I am ready to come out of, like, out of the dark. Or mm-hmm. And yes, certainly. Yeah. And I think in sharing it, that's going to deepen the experience for me. And it's also going to help integrate it and integrate into my work. But yes, yeah. I do. I really feel like it's time. Like, the incubation is over.
Yeah.
Like, all of that falling apart has happened. All of that, you know, it's like not all together, but I feel like it's probably a good time to start.
Yeah, good. Because I really see that as the pathway to all of the deeper integration and bringing it to those that you serve.
Yeah.
So you can share it through an article that you write and send out. You can share it. You can do a 60-minute call about it, you know, and share your personal experience and then the specific lessons, right, and give people food for thought and things to think about from it.
Yeah.
Or you can just share it client by client or to a note that goes out to all of your clients, right? But I think the first step is to put it out there and to be seen in it. I think it's going to help. That will, like you said, it will help you integrate it for yourself, but that's the first step in starting to bring, because I can feel it almost feels like more depth is coming into your work through everything that you've learned.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. And like, and through that kind of part of that is not taking apart. It's more like breaking through this mm-hmm. so much around the like construct of the health goal idea and notion and like what that is and the experience of that for people.
Yeah.
And how to change that experience.
Yeah, I mean, this,
and shift
to me,
it.
This feels like a like part of a body of work that's coming.
Yeah.
So I'd my sense is to start with a newsletter article,
okay.
And it might be two parts. You know, there's a lot, but I actually would love, and you know, we can talk more about this. You don't have to decide on this now, but I'm actually thinking that this may become like a webinar that either leads into a class or into an invite for private. But I'd start maybe now with the article.
Yeah.
How does that feel?
Yeah, that feels really good. And I think even in the article, because I've done a lot of like journaling around it, but I think that the shift, it will change when I'm writing it to share the story.
Yes.
Because it's
more
a different
of the
level
wisdom.
Of
yeah, more of the wisdom and the higher perspective is going to come through.
Yes. Awesome. Thank you so much for catching me before I was like, and just to say that transparency and honesty has been the theme of this call. And I was like, I totally fit that because this is all about transparency, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, thank you.
Yeah, you're so welcome.
Anna.
I love it. Okay, keep me posted.
Yeah, we'll do. Bye.
Okay. All right, Jessica and Leah, I'm coming for you guys. Jessica.
Hey, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, great. I just have, hi, by the way.
Hey, good to hear your voice. You
missed
made it to
your
a call.
Voice.
Yay!
I know. I've been on a few calls. I just haven't raised my hand. In the theme of transparency, I always get, like, even in when I was in the corporate world, like, if I was talking in a meeting, I'd get super nervous. So I get, like, this weird nervous energy. Anyway, so
I'm glad you're coming forward. Anyway.
Yeah. So I'm getting ready to launch everything in the next, probably right after Thanksgiving. And I have just a quick question about launching one-on-one coaching and group coaching. Do you not recommend launching both things at the same time? Do you recommend like picking one or the other? I'm not sure what to put my energy into first, or can I do both at the same time?
When you say group coaching, just clarify for me, like how many people in the group?
I'm not sure. I'm thinking of having, it's kind of like an online support group. Yeah. So instead of having to go to a PFLAG meeting or something like that, you're just at home. Yeah. So
I love that. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
But here's, I mean, there's no one right way to do it, but here's how I think you should do it.
Okay.
I think that you should launch the one-on-one first.
Okay.
And really do a lot of outreach around it and really promote it and bring people into the one-on-one.
Okay.
And then anyone that couldn't afford the one-on-one or wasn't ready to invest because they needed more of a taste or whatever, mm-hmm. then move into phase two, bring them into the group, and you can also promote the group as the group itself.
Gotcha.
So it's almost like you cast a wide net first, but just bring people into the one-on-one and then let, you know, and then come back to those people that raised their hands or on the one-on-one, but just couldn't do it, bring them into a group.
Okay. That makes a lot of sense. That makes a lot of sense. And then one other quick thing. I have a lot of, since I posted this huge Facebook post last week, people have been coming out of the woodwork and like PMing me and
Yay!
Wanting to like meet for coffee. And it's just been amazing.
The world has been waiting for you.
It's just been amazing. I had coffee with two moms last week and went to a GSA at a middle school in Portland. It was super fun and just really, really activating all of this energy that's been building up all this time. But I'm having people contact me and they're kind of in, I'm wondering if they're going to be if instead of like offering, just doing packages, if I should just do packages in the group, or do you sometimes do like a one-off if someone's like, you know, Jess, I really just need an hour to like pick your brain? Or do you?
So I, you know, I mean, again, nothing, right? Always coach, you know, I say always coach the who, but coach the what based on the who, right?
Right.
So I don't want to say absolute, right? But for the most part, one, like, pick your brain isn't going to really get people the results that they want, right?
True.
So it ends up being a disservice.
Mm.
It's like a nice brainstorm session, but then they don't take action or they don't go deeper and there's no accountability. So generally, I try to keep people away from that.
Mm-hmm.
What I would say is you decide for yourself. If you feel like, no, I really want something quick, down, and dirty, maybe you could at least like do it as like a two session thing. But I just feel like one session just doesn't really
isn't going to do it.
Yeah.
And they would probably be better served in the group or in a multiple. Yeah. Okay. That makes a lot of sense. Okay. That's all I had.
Okay. Awesome. I'm really excited for your launch.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay. Leah.
Hey.
Hey.
Thanks
for hanging on.
Thanks for staying on. So obviously, you know, I'm in a soup. I haven't even told you the full extent of it, but you know, I'm in it.
Mm-hmm.
One piece of the soup is I'm going through this experience where people, groups, environments, friends are no longer a fit.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm doing this dance between, and this is also like very much mirroring my work, right? Where everything is up leveling significantly. I'm doing this dance where there's like a fine line between honoring my truth of like what for me really is connection right? And like mm-hmm. how I feel in that. And then wanting to make sure that I'm like really honoring myself as well, like in this process, like that I'm not just like shutting people out.
Yeah.
In a weird way, right?
Yeah.
And so, yeah, that's it. So I don't know what else you need to know, but that's, I'm just in this interesting place where it feels like it's time for a clear out, like, you know, clear the brush. But I'm just kind of being aware of myself in that.
Are there some like markers that you could identify that would let you know if this is someone to clear out right away or someone to kind of, you know, they may not know it, but like you're giving them a warning period because you may want to keep them around. Like, are there some litmus tests or markers for you to go through or assess?
Yeah, I mean, one of the big things, the major way that I'm doing it is kind of like, how do I feel walking away from this situation?
Mm-hmm.
Like, do I feel nourished and revitalized, or do I feel drained?
Mm-hmm.
And then where I'm trying to stay curious around in the, yeah, here's a piece. What I'm trying to stay curious around in the draining is when I feel drained
mm-hmm.
is like it's not making sure it's not a protection mechanism, right, or something.
Yeah.
But the truth of it is just like I think I've accepted a certain pace of growth and focus for myself or some version of that. And not everyone is on that same path. And then it's not in this way of like judgment, but it's just in this way of, we can't have conversations because you're just not doing the same things that I'm doing. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And I'm, yeah. And,
yeah. Yeah. So I think that, so that first question that you're asking feels really important. And then maybe it's like there's another question of like, right, if this person isn't on, you know, in that on that same path or, you know, whatever you want to call it, is there still value that I want to receive through this relationship, or is there still value that can be received through this relationship, and what is it? And I think however you answer that question for each person will probably be very telling.
Well, and the question that I wrote immediately after that was like, at what cost?
Yeah. And right. And then at what cost? I think if you go through a little bit of an assessment of these three questions, your original one and then these other two, with each of the people in question, probably things will become very clear.
And yeah. Well, the interesting thing is, because what this is mirroring, and this might be something, well, what this is mirroring is me taking a firmer stand for my value
mm-hmm.
And doing what best serves me, but having all this gremlin stuff show up around that.
Mm-hmm.
And it feels paralleled. That, like, if I do what's really best for me, like, it's up to them if they get left behind, but that's not my problem.
So 100%. And so I think that's the other piece of, like, you know, again, like, is there still value here for me even if they're not caught up, right? Or, like, and you can see for each person, you know, for a lot of people the answer might be no, but there might be someone in there that's like, yeah, but, you know, she makes me laugh all the time and it's still fun to be around her, or blah blah blah, you know, I don't know, whatever it is, right? So you can kind of like you can assess from there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, this is a weird place to be in.
It's weird, but I think it's really good because it means that you're actually not just saying you're taking a deeper stand for your value, but you're actually willing to take action around it. But not just like extreme, like let's just cut everyone out, or like I've just been reading, you know, you millennials, which I am not this term of canceling, right? It's not like everybody's canceled. Right? But it's like you're being really thoughtful about it, yet, and at the same time, like really taking a step, taking a stance and taking a stand for your value. So it's, I know it's weird, but it feels really good to me, like a powerful place for you to be in.
Yeah, and it does feel good. It just, there's like, you know, there's ramifications. And it's funny that you bring up cancel culture, because cancel culture to me is like the, I don't know, 21st century witch hunt.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And there's a little bit of that energy in this for me of like.
Well, that's why I'm glad that you're assessing, right?
Yeah.
So that it's not that.
Yeah, but there is this thing of like, if I choose to leave people behind, what does that say about me? That's.
If you make that choice consciously and after like assessing and making sure it's not coming from a fear place, then what it says about you is that you're a caring, considerate person who values yourself and also isn't going to put other people through dragging them with you to a place they're not willing to go.
Yeah.
That's not canceling. That's not cancel culture. Cancel culture is different.
Yeah, I mean, more of, like, me being canceled. So, yeah.
You might be, by some people.
Yeah. Yep.
I'm going to let you sit with this. But I know more will come and keep me in the loop.
Yep.
All right. Thanks for bringing it forward. All right, everybody, thanks for all of you that are still hanging on. It's so good to be with all of you. I hope you got exactly what you needed from our call today, and I will talk to you soon. Bye.